Welcome to episode 176 of the Family Podcast Network. It's all a pack of lies, man.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. Here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. The date today is November the 27th, 2012. Our topic for today is lying to kids ever acceptable? That's right. We're going to talk a little bit today about one of the number one things that parents often practice, and yet at the same time, we turn around and tell our kids don't do. We say, it is not okay to lie. Don't lie. It is not all right to lie. It's unacceptable. It's deceptive. And yet, I think we don't realize how much we do it ourselves. Is that okay? Is that not okay? Does that hurt our kids as they grow up? Is that hurting our relationship with them? Or is it really just fine? Is it protection? We're going to talk about all of that stuff today. But before we get into that, guys, let's go through our housekeeping real quick. If you want to get notified for all the new episodes that are coming out, let's say there's one particular episode that's going to come out. I put out three of these per week, and there's one of them specifically that you're like, man, I wish I would have heard this one. I've gone 2 weeks because I didn't know that that one had come out, and if I'd just heard that 2 weeks ago, then I would have had everything I needed to make sure that this last week could have been much better than it was. Make sure that you jump on over to www.thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Go over to the sidebar, enter your name and your email address. Enter that in, and you will get put on a subscription list that will make sure that anytime I put a new episode, you'll get to see not only that it's out, but what did we talk about that day? What was the topic for that day? What was that one thing that you could have done? So make sure that, go over there, enter your information in. We keep it completely private and protective. I do not like spam, and we'll make sure that you never miss an episode of the Family Podcast Network. Next up, guys, don't forget to like us over on Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, all the other good places. I like connecting with people. One of the favorite things that I get to do is connect with the folks that are out there that are wanting to talk, visit, listen. If you ever want to get kind of the inside track on what does the Gibson family look like, Facebook's the best way to do it. I knock a lot of my stuff out on the Family Podcast Network Facebook page about kind of what goes on behind the scenes. Hey, if you ever wanted to know what does homeschooling, and even more specifically, what does unschooling look like, go like us over on the Facebook page. You will absolutely like and enjoy that. Because while we're over there, we talk real, I mean, I think a lot of people don't necessarily see how it works. And I've got a show kind of brewing in me about going over a little more in depth into homeschooling. If you ever want to check it out, go look back a few episodes of the Family Podcast, the Real Family Guys podcast, which you can find on thefamilypodcastnetwork.com, just like these episodes. But go look at the one where one of my good friends, Paul McGuire, interviewed me and the Gibson family on what we do for homeschooling. You go check that out. So we've got one of those brewing, but if you want to see how we do it, how do we teach things like science to our kids, go check that out. I've got a great picture that we just put up today on doing vinegar and baking soda, and we kind of break down. I broke down with the kids what are the different kinds of reactions that you can have and all those other kinds of things, and what's dilute solute and those kinds of stuff. We had a great time with it. So go check those things out. You can do that over at Facebook, Pinterest, YouTube, all that other good stuff. I want to touch base with you guys. Next off, if you guys don't know, my specialty is speaking. I love to speak. I love being behind a mic. When I'm talking right now, I imagine this audience full of people that I'm talking to, so it's very personal for me. However, my wife's skill set is blogging. She has a blog over at www.thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blog, or you can go to the top navigation bar and click on blog. When you do that, you'll actually get to go see some of the blog posts and topics that my wife writes. She puts those down. Let me tell you, we write these together sort of-ish. I mean, like, I don't type them out. She comes up with the ideas, and we talk about ideas, and then she goes and blogs about them. They're so good that even after I've talked about them, I still go and read them anyway because they're that good. And I'm like, holy smokes, this is amazing. So not only that, if you want to hear a good story about Trey when he was a little kid, butt naked in a puddle of water, you need to go check out our blog over at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blog or click blog on the upper bar. It's, you'll get a hoot out of that. Next off, if you want to contact me, Trey, we got questions, comments, thoughts, you know, what do we do about this? You know, you can do that by emailing me at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com, or you can go to contact us. When you go to contact us, you're going to get a little bar that's going to drop down there. You can leave me some feedback. I love feedback, guys. Hearing, hey, I sure do appreciate you. I sure do like what you do. I love this topic. I mean, that kind of stuff fuels me, and so I always appreciate that. You can also click on there, a topic suggestion. Hey, I'd love to hear something about this, or if you want to leave an internet voicemail, you can click on that or over on the ashtray a question bar on the side of the main page, and you can ask me a question. So long as you have a microphone hooked up to your computer or your internet device, you can do that that way. Real quick, I wanted to throw out a quick shout out to a one of the new listeners we've got. His name is Charles. He went over to iTunes and left me some feedback on iTunes. And I just want to say a quick thanks to Charles. He put, "I found Trey on the Survival Podcast, common sense coupled with education." Hey, Charles, I really appreciate you, man. Thanks for those 5 stars. It means a lot to me. If you guys want to leave reviews, I do appreciate that. Guys, leave me positive reviews. Leave me bad reviews. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Drop those off. You can do that in iTunes. It sure does help. It also bumps me up in the ratings as well. All righty, guys. Oh, last thing, too, guys. PTAT. If you guys want to support the show, 30 cents per episode, if you feel like you're getting 3 dimes worth of information out of this every week, I will keep this podcast for free forever. Just going to do that because I believe that this kind of thing needs to get out to people. However, if you want to be a part of becoming a bigger part of keeping track of this and keeping this show aired, consider becoming a PTACer. We've got nice low rates for that that can keep this thing flowing. Also, another thing I want you guys to consider, especially since we've got some new listeners, I am about ready to start moving in to start building more of a community around this. We've got a forum set up, and I'm about ready to put my wife in charge and kind of running the forum, but I am going to very soon need administrators for the forum. So whatever it is you guys might be thinking about, if you're like, man, Trey, I would love, you know, we've got kids that have been diagnosed with ADHD, and I would love to kind of head up a group about ADHD. I want you. And I want to see if we can set you up as an administrator. I want to talk to you a little bit, see kind of what you think, what your thoughts are, maybe email back and forth a little bit. But I need some people that can start connecting with other parents that are like, hey, this is what we deal with. Hey, we're homeschool. I'd love it if we had a homeschooling group. I'll be there. I'll be a part of that one for sure. My wife will for sure. But we want to get involved. We want to start connecting people together because I can't talk about everything because some of these aren't my specialty. One lady just wrote in this week and asked for a topic discussion on blended families. And she even put in there, that's not necessarily your specialty, but I'll take any advice that you can get. And we're going to come up with some stuff, and I'm already putting some things together for that as we speak. But you know what would be even better? If other families that had blended families, we had a forum topic on there called Blended Families where we could come together and talk. I think that is the ultimate goal. So I want you guys to be thinking about that. If you've got a specialty or an area you're like, man, I would love to be a resource to people, consider becoming that. If you are interested, email me at TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com and in there put forum moderator and I'll know what you're talking about. All right, guys, with all of the mess out of the way, we've got the housekeeping done. Let's go ahead and jump into our topic for today, which is lying to kids ever acceptable? Is lying to kids ever acceptable? Before we do that, let me play you guys a real quick clip here. Hold on.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
You must have had vegetables fresher than that growing up on a farm, Greg.
That, Greg grew up in Detroit.
He told me he grew up on a farm.
Do they have many farms in Detroit?
No, Dina. No, not a lot. In fact, Jack, I should clarify this. I didn't actually grow up in a farm per se. The house that we grew up in was originally erected in the early Dutch farm colonial style. So that, plus we had a lot of pets.
Which one did you milk then?
Dad.
Honey, he said he pumped milk.
What have you ever milked?
Cat.
A cat?
I milked a cat once. You want to hear a story?
Sure.
My sister had a cat, and the cat birthed a litter of kittens. Must have been 30 of them. And there was this one little runt, this little sweet little engine that could run, who could, you know, wanted to get up there and couldn't really get access to the teat.
Dad.
What have you? I went in and just simply, you know, just into a little saucer And then took the saucer and fed it to Geppetto. That's when I named him Geppetto.
I had no idea you could milk a cat.
Oh, yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
Okay, can we change subject, perhaps?
You know, I'm sorry. Maybe some of you guys got really offended at that. And I mean, if you did, I mean, this is not the podcast for you. But I mean, I think this is a very over-exemplified example of what happens when you start with a lie, and then another lie's got to occur, and then another lie's got to occur, and then you just it turns into a successive parade of lies that lead to this giant pact that's just totally implausible, right? And so I'm not really talking about this today. We're not talking about blatant, flat out, humongous lies today. I mean, we're going to hit on those and we're going to touch on those just a little bit. But in reality, I mean, we're talking about things a little bit differently. So let's define lie. Let's define lie. I'm going to define lie today as intentionally giving a false statement. Anything that you say that is intentionally false, right? So this is different from like ignorance, when people just don't know and they throw out things that they're not aware of, right? Or sometimes people just believe certain things without ever questioning and without ever, you know, finding empirical evidence or data or anything that they can back up with facts to help prove it, right? And they just don't know. Right? They just don't know. This is different from that. We're talking about intentionally giving false statements. This is the definition of a lie. Now, when I was doing a little bit of research on this episode, I stumbled across the different classifications of lies, and I had no idea. Let me read to you guys every single one of these that I can find. So classification of lies, bad faith lie, barefaced lie, big lie, bluffing, BS. I'm not going to expound on that because I know some of you guys might get a little offended by that one, but butler lie. Contextual lie, economy with the truth, emergency lie, exaggeration, fabrication, fib, half-truth, haystack answer, jocose lie, which I did go look that one up. That's like one done in jest. It's typically known to be a lie, but it's a joke. Funny enough, there was a whole article on lie to children, lying by omission, lying in trade, lying through your teeth, minimization, I think, excuse me. Misleading and disassembling, noble lie, perjury, polite lie, puffery, view from nowhere, and white lie. I mean, seriously, that is a lot. That is 27 different versions. I heard something a while back, and I don't know how accurate this is necessarily, but I heard somebody, a linguist years ago, a social linguist, talking about how if you can really tell things that are important in a culture by, as evidenced by how many names that they had for it, and this particular one was written about sex, and he went through all the different you know, names we have for sex and all those different things, all the different names we have for body parts and that kind of stuff, and he was talking about how in American culture sex is very popular. So it makes me wonder if that's cross-applicable, and if we really have, you know, an addition of several words for one concept, if that's true in this. I mean, there's 27 different versions of lies here. Anyway, that's just a side note. I thought that was really fascinating. But when it comes to lying to kids, so that's what we're talking about today. Trey, get back on topic for me, please. When we're talking today about lying to our kids, and here's the issue that I started thinking about. I think it is more common than we care to admit that we lie to our kids. I read an article this week when I was getting ready to do some of the research on this. Very, very fascinating stuff. And one of the things that it said was that 80% of kids reported that there were obvious lies that their parents would practice and that they would say. So, okay, well, Trey, how exactly do you prove that? They would take young kids and they would ask them. They would say, like, have you ever been told a statement like, if you know, the police will come if you cry in the middle of a store? Right? Have they ever been told a lie that or similar to that? They would ask questions like, have you ever been told that like a rainbow appears just for you? And they would base that off of these questions, and then these kids would report, yeah, I'd heard something like that. And what they found was 80% of the kids that they asked this question said, yes, I have heard lies like this. They took the exact same parents of these kids who reported that they had heard this 8 times, and they asked them, what are your thoughts about lying? They didn't realize that they had asked these kids these questions. 75%, 3 out of every 4 of those parents agreed that lying is completely unacceptable. I mean, I'm just like, you know, I'm blown away by this. I mean, it's just, you know, and guys, I'm raising my hand here. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm not getting self-righteous here, I swear. But this blew me away. I mean, seriously, 80%, 8 out of every 10 kids said that they had been lied to, and 3 out of 4 out of these parents said that lying is completely unacceptable. Regardless of what your belief systems are about lying, it's very obvious that we have some level of incongruency. They don't match up. What we think and what we do don't match up when it comes to lying. Why is that a problem? Kids can smell this kind of crap a mile away. Kids are very good about feeling when something's not right. In a lot of ways, they're better than what parents can do when it comes to detecting these kinds of things. So more often than not, parents are saying that they believe one thing and they don't do another. We talk here about Family Podcast Network. We share a lot about what is the difference between a moral and a value, right? So first off, moral is not necessarily tied to religious stuff. Now, in my family, it is because of our belief systems, but it doesn't have to be. Morals are basically this, your belief system about what is right and what is wrong, okay? So if you say yelling at each other to get what you want is not good, right? It's not acceptable. That is a moral. So then what is a value? How is that different? A value is whenever you have a moral that you believe in so much that you practice it. If I tell my kids, hey, you do not yell at each other to get what you want. But then I come home and the kids are screaming, they're whining, they're throwing a fit, they're going fussy, and I'm just getting frustrated, and they build it up, and then they spill some water, and I have them clean it up, and then another kid comes in and knocks the other one over, and they're screaming and crying, and I just go, kid, shut up! You see, that's not a value. No matter how important it may be to me, it's not important enough for me when I'm frustrated to not do it. Still immoral. But at least at that moment, it is not being practiced as a value. So a lot of parents have the moral belief that lying is not acceptable, but when you really put them on the wire, they don't practice it as a value. So I think the question comes down to, I think we have to ask ourselves this question. If we have these belief systems, if we have these ideas about what is right and what is wrong, then why do we not make them a value? Why do we lie? Here's some of my thoughts. Number one, I think that we often do it because we see it as a role of protection for our kids, right? Right? So there's this idea that, like, you know, our kids are young and they're dainty, and we don't want to hurt them, right? So we want to give them that impression, especially when they're little bitty babies, you know? Infants and moving into toddlerhood, we want them to feel like the world is a safe and quiet place, right? And so we want to protect them from the hard things and the difficult things, and we don't want them to experience that. So I think that's one of the reasons why we lie. Another reason I think we lie to kids is that we see it as kind of like protecting their innocence. I mean, when we look at it, I mean seriously, we kind of have these belief systems, at least in American culture, that kids are supposed to, quote-unquote, supposed to act different, right? I mean, that's why, I don't know if any of you guys remember, but do y'all remember that picture of that kid from a third world country? I can't even remember where it was, but he was, this little four-year-old was smoking a cigarette in the picture, and I mean, some parents just came unglued about this. Why does that bother us so much? Adults do it all the time. If we saw an adult out there smoking a cigarette or doing whatever, we'd be, oh, it's no big deal, right? Then why do we flip out when we see kids doing it? Well, Trey, it's dangerous and it's deadly. Okay, are you saying that when you grow up, it stops becoming dangerous and deadly? Of course it doesn't. Then why is it that we see it as a big deal for little kids and not for adults? Now, don't hear me say it here. I'm not suggesting you give your kids a cigarette or a doobie or anything like that. That's not the purpose of this statement. But I find it interesting that we draw that line there. So much. Here's another one that always has baffled me. Why is it that parents often curse, or at least maybe are allowed to curse and drop F-bombs and F-bombs and S-bombs and whatever else they can come up with? Why are they allowed to do it, but kids aren't? Now, don't get me wrong. In my household, I don't give my kids free rein to say those things either. But why is it that we separate those two things out? I mean, when you really think about it, this is fascinating since, I mean, I was destined to love psychology, even as a kid. Because even as a kid, I thought about this kind of stuff. I mean, it's almost as though the purpose of swear words and this cursing is to title whoever's doing it, whoever's using the curse words, as the adult. I mean, really, I mean, that's what it seems to be. It fascinates me. I mean, I'm about to drop a bomb here, okay, guys? Not in a cursing sense, but for empirical research here. So if you got little kids or something like that, you might want to send them to the other room now. But let's think about the word shit and the word poo-poo, okay? I mean, by definition, those mean the exact same thing. But why is one considered okay and the other is not? In most cases, it has to do with who gets to say it. The adult does. Anyway, I'm not trying to turn this into like, you know, the anatomy of curse words or anything like that. But this has always, always fascinated me. And I think it's because in our mindset, we see kids saying things like that or smoking, you know, a cigarette when they're 4 years old. We see that as an issue of them losing their innocence. And I think we have kind of a fear that we're exposing our kid to the quote unquote real world. And then, like, if we do that, they're going to become, like, jaded and cynical, right? What does cynical mean? That's whenever somebody has a belief that, like, people are motivated by self-interest, right? It's kind of the overall distrust of other humans. Dr. House, off of House, the show. Classic cynic, right? Actually, he might be called sardonic, but anyway, it's a combination of those two, sadistic, sardonic, both. I mean, so he is the classic. And so I think we're afraid that if you expose our kids to these too soon, then what happens is they grow up and they become these cynical people. So we're trying to protect their innocence, to try to stave off the cynicism indefinitely or at least for a short time. The next reason, why do we lie? I think we do it because we are looking for peace, calm, comfortability, right? I mean, the fundamental thing to this, and I think most all parents acknowledge this, is that kids struggle for self-control. They struggle to control themselves. When they come out, they cry and they scream. As they get older, they do it more and they get louder, right? And so I think we kind of see our children as entities, beings that don't know how to control themselves well. So I think parents kind of develop a fear that their kids are going to react violently to the truth. You know, if we let them know this, you mix this bad self-control, this lack of self-control, and then we give them the truth as to what this world really is or what's really going on or why, you know, little fishy so-so is floating in the, you know, the fishbowl. If we do that, they're going to be, like, violently reacting, right, to this, to the actual truth. And so they feed them a little bit of a lie, right? I mean, let's take Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is so fresh to us. I read years ago, can't even remember, I wish I could find the article again because it was so good, but this one particular person, probably who had, I mean, to me, they had a smidge of cynicism in their voice when they talked, but they wrote a really great article on this. And I remember they brought up that during one of the Thanksgivings, they had brought out the roasted turkey and sat the turkey on the table, and the kid kind of had a reaction to it and was like, did this turkey want to die? And I mean, just, you know, they said you could look around the table and feel the tension building up. And everybody looked at that mom like, what is she going to do with this? And everybody was like, oh, no, we're going to have a bad situation. And the mom just said, yeah, the turkey wanted to die. As a matter of fact, that was his sole purpose. And he knew it was, so that way he could grow up to that, so that way he could be our Thanksgiving dinner. Crisis staved. Nobody got upset or angry. Everybody relaxed. And we went right back to carving into that turkey. You see, it calmed that kid down, and then the problem was gone, okay? So a lot of times it's about creating peace, right? Another reason, why do we lie to kids? Often I think it's because we're trying to save face. For some reason, we parents, and I admit this in myself, we do not like to admit to our flaws. We will often go to great efforts to conceal the flaws that we have. Which brings a level of interestingness to me because, I mean, it seems like we have such high standard for kids. We expect them to perform at these levels and to not deviate and to do these things and to do what I say because I'm the parent and you do what I say and not what I do. And we do all these things and we expect them to do that, and yet we spend all our time concealing our flaws from them. As though as long as we can hide our flaws and then teach them not to have any, then they won't have any either. Which, I mean, in reality, let's be honest, that's a farce, man. I mean, we've all got our flaws. We've all got the things that we screw up with. Anyway, we do it to save face, to conceal those flaws. I mean, I really think that when we do this, whenever we practice this saving face, I mean, I think it kind of gives us feelings of authority in a lot of ways. You might even call it synonymous with the phrase self-righteous. And again, I mean that outside of the religious context here. But I think that's what it goes back to. You know, I mean, I even think when it comes to saving face, I even think it comes down to like teachers, like the answer, I don't know. One of the most liberating things that I ever experienced was this phrase right here. Man, I don't know the answer to that. I have come to find that it seems as though most people who are confident in themselves are able to say that answer. I don't know the answer to that. Let me go find out, and then I'll come talk to you. And it seems to be the ones that are the least confident about themselves are the ones often that are, you know, they give an answer for everything, even when they really don't know the answer. I've seen a lot of teachers be really bad about this. I've seen a lot of teachers that would give answers to things they had no idea with. So anyway, I think it comes back to that saving face. We don't ever want to look bad to our kids or in our kids' eyes, whether it be them seeing that we're jacked up individuals just like everybody else, or whether it be them, you know, realizing, oh, mom and dad don't know everything, right? And then last, I think, why is it that we lie to kids? I think it's to control behavior. I think it comes down to the fundamental fact is we don't like seeing our kids upset. And I think good parents do that. I don't like seeing my kids upset. Or it's that we don't want to deal with the crap that comes from it. The hissy fits and the throwing a fit in Walmart because they don't get their toy, right? I was recently on one of my favorite podcasts, the Survival Podcast with Jack Spirko, and we were talking a little bit about resilience. And one of the things that we went over was this mentality of, you know, when the dog dies and that we take it away, we bury it, burn it, whatever else we do, and then the kid comes home and we say, oh, well, Rufus went to go live with Grandpa Joni or whatever on the farm, right? We tell them these things, right? And so I think in a lot of ways, I mean, I think in some cases it's with a good heart. You know, the parent doesn't want to see the kid do it. But I also think on the flip side, it's also a little bit about not wanting to deal with the complexity, the difficulties and the issues of the hard conversation of the dog's dead. Rufus is dead. Heart stopped. No brain activity. Not coming back. And then dealing with the grief that comes from that. So the next thing I want to talk about real quick, and then we're going to kind of flip this around. What do we lie about? Number one thing that I see families lie the most about. Now, guys, first off, this is not a comprehensive list, okay? This is not a full-out list that gets every single thing that we talk about. But I'm going to hit the big four. It's the big four that I find the most. So number one is family problems. Things like divorce, right? Mommy and daddy are just going to take a little time away from each other. Right? When in reality, there's a divorce. Okay? It's that kind of thing. Instead of saying something like, mommy and daddy are having a hard time getting along. We've been fighting a lot. And because of that, it's really hurting each other's feelings. And, it's not an honesty issue there, but it's about something like that. Job loss. Right? Somebody gets fired or there's cutbacks or whatever else is going on, and we don't get straight front, we don't get forthright. Why can't we buy this, mom and dad? Oh, well, it's just because of this and that, right? Or sickness. Sickness is another big one that I see. Death is another big one. So family problems, we often don't, we are not, forthright on. Hey, mom, dad, why don't we go see Uncle Jasper? Well, it's because Uncle Jasper is in Germany, right? Instead of the fact that we can't stand Uncle Jasper and don't like being around him, right? We lie about these things because, it goes back to those reasons we said before. Next off, what else do we lie about? I see this one a lot is privacy. I remember a mom was talking to me and she was asking what we should do about this, but she was, in my office saying, my husband and I were having sex and we were making some noise in the other room and the kid came, in later and said, what were we all doing in there? And she said, we told him that we were just play wrestling. Well, let's leave that alone. I've got another segment. We'll get around to talking about that. I had a dad years ago who was sitting in my office and, they said, Trey, what should I do? My son wants to know if I've ever taken drugs before. And he said, well, I said, well, what'd you wind up saying? And he goes, well, I told him that I never had, that I never had. I had a lot of friends that did, but I didn't tell him that I did. So we often do it for what we justify as like a privacy issue. Number three, what do we lie about? Often we do it to skirt harsh realities, right? Just the other day, my daughter Anna came in and she was teared up. She came out of bed and I was in the middle of getting ready to record a Family Podcast Network and she came to my recording studio and she said, Dad, I'm sad. And I said, well, tell me about it, sugar. And she goes, Dad, I had a dream a few days ago, and I just remembered it now. She goes, but I had a dream that you were laying on a bed, and you were completely gray. Well, tell me about that, sugar. She goes, you didn't talk. You didn't say anything. She goes, sometimes you would talk, but you mostly just laid there, and you were all gray. She goes, I think you were dead. Wow. What a heavy topic. She said, Dad, are you going to die? Tough thing. Do you skirt the harsh realities? A while back, I have a trauma bag. I'm a pretty I'm a pretty highly prepared type of guy, so I have all sorts of bags for different things, like a bug out bag and a blackout bag for if the lights go out, and I've got a trauma bag in my car, which is kind of a first responder. If I stumble across a wreck or a gunshot wound or something like that, can I keep somebody alive long enough to get the EMTs there and stuff like that? And I take that pretty seriously. And the other day I was driving, I looked and I saw a lady in the bar ditch. She was just kind of sitting there looking kind of funny. And I pulled over and said, "Ma'am, are you okay?" And she said, "Yeah, I just got attacked by a dog." And her entire leg was just mangled and ripped up and just chunks of meat hanging off. I mean, excuse the crudity in this, but I mean, it was bad. And so, of course, I went and I got my bag and I brought it in. And we got her patched up. We cleaned out her wounds. We called 911. I mean, not 911. We called her husband, who was just right down the road. And he's going to take her to the hospital. So I cleaned her up and I got her bandaged up real good with some sterile gauze and all that other good stuff. And husband got there, picked her up, took her to the hospital, right? Boom, it was good. I went home. I mentioned it to my wife that had just happened. And my daughter was in the background. She came in. She goes, "Dad, did a dog attack you? Or a dog attack her?" I said, "Well, yeah." And she looked at me and she said, "Are they going to attack me? What do you say there? What do you say there?" And then last, what do we lie about is the number one that I hear the most of is white lies. These are typically defined as like the harmless little lies. And most people will say that often they're for the good, right? So these are the lies like, "Dad, am I, like when the wife comes in and says, like, you know, does this make me look fat, right? And maybe it makes them look very, well, maybe that's a bad example, but they come in and say, does this make me look bad? And you look at them and maybe it does. Maybe it's not a very flattering piece. And you say, "Oh, no, you look great, babe," right? Or something like that, right? It's the white lie and that kind of thing. So those are what the things I see people lie about the most. So with that said, and one more thing. What are the other things we lie about? This is a big one. And I'm going to give the disclaimer right now. I meant to do it at the very start and I didn't. So I'm going to be straight with you guys right now. If you are easily offended when the status quo is questioned, you need to shut this podcast off right now, because here's what I'm going to go ahead and tell you. I'm about to piss some people off, okay? It's not the purpose. It's not why I'm doing this, but I'm going to bring this into the correlation. Why else? What else do we lie about? We lie about things, what I call the Santa Claus effect. Easter Bunny. Tooth Fairy. We do these things, and so the mentality behind these is that, you know, we give them fantasy that helps them adapt to their fantasy-style play and the things that the kids think are fun and all that other different kinds of stuff, and it gives them imaginary heroes or the kind of the topics that I've heard about that. And so, but let's be honest. Going back to the initial definition of what is a lie, intentionally giving a false statement, suggesting that there is a man who sits in a sleigh with reindeer that pulls around and has a bag that has an infinite amount of toys that he takes all the way across the world to give every single person one of those toys, is an intentionally false statement. So, predilection right here is Santa and the belief systems behind him is a lie. Okay, I mean, again, I'm not saying this to offend people. I'm not saying this to hurt people's feelings. I grew up with Santa Claus. I don't feel betrayed because I got, I was told Santa Claus existed or anything like that. But let's just be straight about it, okay? So, with all of that said, now we're going to move into the flip side of this. What do I think about these topics? What do I think about these kinds of lying? So let's start out with like the why do we lie? Going back initially to what we talked about, why do we lie? We lie for protection, right? We want to give kids this impression that the world is quiet, that the world is safe, right? We want kids to grow up with that kind of mentality. My first thought is, why? Why do we feel this need for a kid to grow up and think that the world is all lollipops and candy canes and people that are going to help them out and be kind to them? This is not a reality. Now, are there going to be a lot of people out there that are going to be that way? I believe so. I even want to believe that there are going to be more of those people that want to do good to our kids than there are going to be those who want to do harm. But the reality is, regardless of how the statistic is, if it's 1 in 10, 1 in 90, bad people are out there. The world is not all quiet and safe. There is war. There is famine. People are dying because they're hungry. There are people dying in war. There are little kids that are being put into slavery to go to fight, sometimes to fight and kill their own family. It's happening. Now, I am not suggesting that we open our kids up to every single thing that is happening in this world. all at once. I'm not suggesting that. When kids are ready, they have a tendency to ask these questions. When you build a good, healthy, positive relationship where they feel comfortable asking you about anything, when you do that, kids want to come ask you these questions. And when they are ready for these questions, they will come and talk to you about them. But I do not understand this mentality that we want to protect them and give them a false impression of what this world is. How about instead we give them the accurate perception of what this world is? There are some wonderful people out there that want to help you and want to protect you and take care of you just like mommy and daddy do. But there are some people out there that want to hurt you as well. And then if they say, well, Trey, what if they freak out? What if they panic? What if they go crazy? What if it scares them to death? Then what you do is you begin to teach them how to figure out ways that they could take care of the threats. My kids started learning self-defense the minute that they could express an interest in knowing what it was. Yes, my kids, I have taught them every single grip, grab, everything that I can find on what perpetrators do to try to take kids, I've taught them how to break loose of those. And let me tell you, you'd be amazed at how a four-year-old can grab me. I mean, and we practice. And my son's like, yeah, let's do this, Dad. Let's do it, Dad. And I'll grab his little arm. I mean, so hard that I'm leaving impressions on him. But he knows how to loop his little fingers down inside there and grab my finger and pull it back so hard that I cannot hold my grip. I've begun teaching my kids how to defend themselves. We've started teaching about if people are trying to take them away without permission, without mommy and daddy's permission or something like that. Well, I've taught my kids the places to kick. And I had a mom say, you did what? You taught them to kick somebody in the crotch? Yeah. Well, what if they get mad? And what if they hurt them? Or what if they kill them? Let's be honest. If they abduct the kids, that or worse is probably what is going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that you get specific on what perpetrators do when they take kids away. I'm not suggesting that. There are just some things that kids do need to wait until they have a better grasp on before they start talking about it. But it is perfectly fine to tell a young kid, there are bad people out there that want to do bad things. But let's talk about what can we do if we ever meet one. What can we do? It's one of the best things that you can do. I want to address this mentality that like, you know, okay, there's that fear that if we expose our kid to the real world that they'll become jaded, right? That they'll become cynical. Cynical people have a tendency to be birthed whenever they see adversity, when they see difficulties, when they see these atrocities that occur in the world, but they develop this belief system that there is nothing that I can do about it. That is what I have seen in the past produced cynicism. How do you prevent that? You teach kids to think, what could I do if? How could I react when? Rather than giving them the lie that the real world is purely peaceful. Moving on to the why do we lie, talk about peace. What are my perspectives on this? Right? So again, going back to this idea that kids lack self-control, and because of that, there's this fear that they're going to react violently to truth, not when you do it right. Not when you do it in a healthy way. Kids can take things like that incredibly well, especially when you teach them to think, how could I deal with this if it came up? How could I handle this problem if we did this? And yes, I mean even the hard questions. How could kids handle it if we talked about, what would it be like for mommy and daddy to be dead? What if we died in a car wreck? What would you do? I don't like talking about this question. When my daughter was out talking to me about me being completely gray, I'll be honest, it put a lump in my throat. And I asked myself, should I be talking to her about this? I mean, this because it was obviously, this was really distressing her. I mean, she was teary-eyed. She's 6 years old, and she was very teary-eyed about this. And she is one of my least emotional kids out of all of them. And so there was that part of me that was like, should I be talking about this? But I said to myself, you know what, let's process this. Let's go through this with her. Let's hash through this for her. I didn't want to go through it either. It was uncomfortable for me to be thinking about being dead. It was uncomfortable for me to be thinking about what would my daughter do if all of a sudden I didn't come home tonight. But you know what it also did for me? It created an appreciation. So when I came home that next evening, let me tell you, it was a lot easier to go walk outside because I thought about me being gray, being dead. And it was a motivator. And my daughter, as we were talking about this, my wife came in and I caught her up on the situation, and we both bent down with my daughter and were talking, and my daughter reached up and just hugged us. And it created a tender little moment. And I honestly believe that it was a part of what made my daughter go, I love my parents. Now, I mean, maybe she went deep philosophical 6-year-old on it. I don't know. Maybe she didn't. But there was some part of her that clicked. I appreciate my mommy and daddy. And I don't think she would have had that if we'd have hidden that idea of us dying from her. I don't think she would have had that. I think we would have robbed her from the ability to learn and grow. I think we've gotten so addicted to this mentality that we need to calm our kids down and make the problem go away that we've stopped the ability for our kids to learn how to deal with these big, heavy-hitting problems, which is why kids will just totally crush themselves when things like death happens. Next off, save face. Why do we lie? Save face. My side of this, I think we should absolutely be talking to our kids about our faults, our mess-ups, our screw-ups, the things we did, whether we did dope in high school or whatever else. We had sex before marriage and we believe that that's not okay, whatever it is, I think we need to talk to our kids about these things. One of the best things that my dad did was, you know, my dad never had an affair with my mother. Never did. One of the things he did do was, and he admits openly to this, is that he had emotional affairs with people. And through that, he said that, you know, I mean, there's nothing physical to it, but he had relationships with ladies that were emotional. That were things that he should have been given to my mom. And one of the best things that he ever did was talk to me about that and openly admit to those things. Because let me tell you, when I went into my marriage with my wife, I was highly aware of that and was willing to do whatever it took to bulletproof my marriage. That's why my wife and I started the Marriage Podcast Network, is because we're both incredibly passionate about bulletproofing our marriages to the best of our ability to make our marriages affair-proof, etc. And it was because it started with a, Trey, I screwed up on some things. It allowed me to build and work off of a mistake to grow. Next off, for controlling behaviors. You see, I hate this one. I hate this one at the very core. Why do we lie to kids? Is to control their behavior. We don't want to deal with the hissy fit in the middle of Walmart because we don't want to buy them the toy, right? I hate this one. The purpose of positive parenting is not to control our kids' behavior. I hate that phrase. You need to get your kids under control. You need to get that wife of yours under control. I just want to, I am not a militant man, but I want to punch people in the face. Literally, no, like seriously, I really want to punch them in the face when people make comments like, you need to get that kid under control. The purpose of parenting is not to control your kid. The purpose of parenting is to teach the kid how to control themselves. So I reject this one from the ground up. Oh, God, this one chaps my butt more than any of the other ones. This one chaps me. The purpose of parenting is not to control your kid, is to teach your kid how to control their own behavior. If you're the one who is controlling their behavior all the time, one of these days you will not be around to help them do it, and it will not turn out well. So let me address this real quick. We got to wrap it up. Why do we lie? Or what do we lie to about our kids? Family problems. Do not lie to your kids about family problems. That is my pure suggestion. Be open. Be honest. If things aren't all good on the home front with your spouse, it's okay when your kid comes asking you about it to be straight with them. Are y'all going to get a divorce? If you don't know the answer to that, say, I don't know the answer to that, baby. Oh, but Mom, I don't want you to get a divorce. Don't make them promises that you're not willing to actually keep. If you're not going to keep that promise, if there's any part of you that is just tickling in the back saying, I might not, do not make those promises, and especially, it'll turn into this. Don't make it a lie later. Even if you mean it, maybe. Don't promise things you're not willing to back up. If Grandma Faye is sick in the hospital with cancer and is going to die, and they say, is Grandma Faye going to die? Don't say no. Don't lie to your kids. Be honest with them. The answer is maybe. If they start acting sad, talk with them. You look like you're feeling sad, sugar. Tell me what you're thinking. I don't want Grandma Faye to go away. Great opportunity to talk about death. Hey, sugar, we all die eventually. We want to believe, we want to make sure we take care of ourselves. We want to do the things we can, try to make it in old age, but everybody dies. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Doesn't mean you're going to die right now, right? Talk to your kids about these things. Get them expressing. I don't want Grandma Faye to die. Oh, baby, me neither. It does. You're right. It hurts. It's scary sometimes. But help them process these things instead of freaking out and feeding them lies. What do we lie about? Privacy. It really bothered me when that lady said that her husband and her were having sex in there and that she didn't want to tell him. You see, I mean, my wife and I are very open about sex. We love it. We both love it. If you ever want to get a good taste of that, you're like, oh, is it just you, Trey? Is your wife really? Seriously, go check us out, marriagepodcast.com, themarriagepodcast.com, and go listen. We've got an episode out there on sex. Go check it out. We're very open about sex, and we're very open with sex about, you know, with our kids as well. That doesn't mean that we explain to them, you know, things like positions or inappropriate stuff like that, but we're very open. Sex rocks. Yeah, sex rocks. But we also explain to our kids, we think, and this is our, you know, this is our personal belief systems here. I'm not trying to push this, but we believe that sex belongs within marriage. Why is that? Outside of any religious parts of it that we may believe, we also believe that sex is something that is very, 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 very emotionally intimate. And that emotional intimacy requires commitment for it to be safe. In other words, it'd be like going and driving a NASCAR, right? Racing in NASCAR without restraints on. Right, it'd be like driving it around, and I mean, it's exhilarating. It's fast, and it's a, you know, it's, whoa! I mean, it's a pretty high intensity sport, right? NASCAR is a pretty amazing sport. However, you smash into something, and it comes to a halt. That car comes to a halt without those restraints in there. Things are going to get ugly if you even survive, and that's the way in our family system we see sex as well. We're very open about that. We don't lie to them about what's going on. If they hear something and ask us, we're going to tell them. Now, for us, we're also going to reinforce why we do it and how we believe it belongs in marriage. But it's okay to not lie about that. It's very okay. Let's go ahead and push it through here because we're running out of time. Skirting the harsh realities. My perspectives, don't do that. Don't do that. That doesn't mean you need to load your kid down with every detail that ever comes out about harsh realities in life. But don't skirt it. Let kids understand that bad things happen. Bad things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. It is an inevitability. It's a part of it. But help them figure out what they believe about that. You know, the harsh reality is that there are pit bulls that owners, I live in a small town, mind you, so we don't have any kind of enforcement in a real sense. But we've got owners that let their dogs run around. Even after they snag this lady's leg, they still let them run around. One's a blue heeler, and the other one's a pit. And, you know, I mean, I had every opportunity to explain. You know, my daughter came in, Dad, are they going to attack me? I had every opportunity to say, no, baby, they won't attack you. But the answer is, they might. And I could see my daughter getting a little anxious. I don't want to go on a walk then, Dad. I said, well, you know, we can't let the fear of that, you know, stop us from doing the things that we want to do. But what could we do about it? And she sat there for a minute. She goes, Dad, we could take the pepper spray with us. Oh, good solution, right? So we came up with that and some other solutions that we could do to kind of protect ourselves, including walking sticks and firearms, etc. And she was good with that. She came up with a solution of how we could get around that. So I don't think we should skirt harsh realities with kids. That doesn't mean we got to load them up with every detail. We don't have to load them up with pictures of dead kids stacked up in Somalia. I mean, I'm not suggesting that at all. But being open with them that there are little kids that are so hungry right now, their stomachs have literally turned into gas and have bloated out. I mean, it's okay to be honest with them about that. And get them thinking, what can we do? What can we do? And then little white lies, those little harmless lies, right, that we say are for the greater good. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with, like, does this make me look bad? And then telling them yes, even when it doesn't. How does that help anybody? You see, in reality, I think this is selfish. And admittedly, I've done this before, guys. I'm raising my hand here. I've done these as well. But it's selfish, I think. I think when I've done it, it's been about a selfish desire to not want to have to, quote-unquote, deal with this issue or that or this thing or that or have to deal with the fact that this is going on. That's what it comes down to. I don't want to have to deal with a little emotional breakdown or hurt feelings. It's not about the greater good at all, I don't think. Personally, for me, it wouldn't be. With my decision, maybe for you it really is the greater good, but for me, I couldn't do it with a clear conscience saying, oh, I did it because it helps you out. It really comes down to, I don't want to have to deal with the mess, so I'm going to lie. I'm going to lie to the kid. I'm not going to tell him this. I'm just going to give him the little white lie. Right? This is the, when you're, you know, the kid has had, you know, chicken fingers or, you know, they've had ice cream 3 or 4 days this week or something like that, and you really don't want them to have any more through the week just because it's a lot of sugar, right? And you go to the store, and can we get a snow cone? No, sweetie, they're all out. Right. Some people would say, well, that's avoiding the reality, you know, the unnecessary reality of a fit or a tantrum or something like that. And I'm like, don't do that. Kids need to learn that sometimes they're going to ask for things. You're not going to get them. It's a part of it. It's also a part of life. And the last one that I said I would wrap up on is this. And I think it's going to be the one that's going to offend people the most. Again, hear me say, this is not the purpose of saying this. It's not the intent. But Santa Claus. As a family, we made a very specific purpose and decision to stop doing Santa Claus. Why is that? We have in our family systems, we have a belief that lying is not okay under any circumstance. We don't believe that lying is okay. We believe in being forthright to each other as a family and those kinds of things. And so we made that decision. I want to be very clear here. If you're doing Santa Claus, I don't think you're doing anything wrong. If you are doing Santa Claus and you feel completely conviction-free, I support you even. We couldn't do it because of our belief systems about what lying is. We believe just that fundamental belief that lie is intentionally giving a false statement. And we tell our kids, don't lie. And we personally did not feel comfortable telling our kids, don't lie to us about things. And then turning around and giving them a lie about a man who doesn't really exist. Now, don't get me wrong. We talked to him about St. Nick and the things that he did for the orphanages and the kids. We're very open with our kids about that. We celebrate, you know, Christmas. We don't, you know, bah humbug and board our house off, you know, or anything like that. I mean, we put up Christmas trees and those kinds of things. But we don't support that. I always get, well, then you're saying that you don't believe in Drew the Easter Bunny either. Yeah, that's actually right. That's actually right. Well, yeah, and people just get so funny about this. And so, anyway, we make a deliberate choice not to do that because, again, our belief system is that for our family, it can't work off the belief system that we have. I want to be clear again. I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong, but I do want you to think about it. Take a thought about it. And again, if you don't have any conviction in your mindset, keep practicing it. I will be very okay with you doing that. I don't think you're screwing your kids up even. But if there's that little something that's nagging you in the back, don't ignore that. Address it and face it. Don't lie to yourself about it. And then you may come to the end of it and go, no, I'm okay with this. But be thinking about that. Because it is a lie. It is a lie to a kid. One of the number one proponents that it seems like comes up is, well, they're not going to have anything that's fun or good memories for them on Christmas. I mean, I say bull. Our kids have great memories on Christmas because we build them. And we build them on other things and those kinds of things. One of the biggest criticisms that I always get is like, you know, what do you do about Christmas presents? You're not buying presents? Of course we do. And then I tell them this. Guess who bought them? Daddy did. I want them to know that I pay attention to what they want. That I love them so much that I listen to them when there's those commercials that come on. That they're like, oh, I want one of those. And it continues to come up over and over and over despite those other things that they completely forget about. Daddy loves them so much. I pay attention. I listen. And I care about them. Instead of some guy who has nothing to do with it. I'm not going to give another man a credit for my relationship with my kids. I want to have that. I want them to know that I love them so much. I think they're important enough to listen to. And it's absolutely possible. Well, guys, that is all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Once again, if you guys have any questions, comments, thoughts, and concerns, something you want to hear about, you can always email us at Trey Gibson at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You can also go to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com and go to contact us, and you can leave a topic suggestion or just a question any way that you want to do that. Also, I want the listener to know who sent in the listener question about blended families. I am working on that question. I've got a couple other in the queue right now that I'm working on. Yours is next. We will make sure that we get to that and get something kicked out to you as soon as possible. Well, thanks for joining us, guys. Appreciate y'all being here. As always, I hope you guys have a great week, great day. We'll see you guys this Friday where Jeff Emery and I are going to be together to co-host the Real Family Guys podcast. This is kind of more of the practical. We're going to talk about our family, how we deal with things and things that go on in our life. It's kind of more where the rubber meets the road on this stuff. Come check us out. Real Family Guys podcast here at FPN's main website. We'll see you guys on Friday.